Blog Talk Radio.
To the Dr. Geo Show. Dr. Geo here, joined by Dr. Suzanne. And today's show, we'll be discussing recipes for your summer meals while in quarantine. Hopefully you won't be in quarantine for too much longer, but you know, a lot of people out there are grilling and cooking for summer, and we definitely need some light recipes. And we'll also be talking about the quarantine 15, people all over the country, life in lockdown has been a big disruption in our lives, and it's created the perfect setup for putting on pounds. And, you know, Dr. Suzanne, you hear about all the social media jokes with quarantine 15.
Yes. Unfortunately, this is not a good trend.
Oh, yeah, not, definitely not. It's called the Quarantine 15, and a lot of people out there are suffering from it due to the lack of inactivity, lack of, you know, foods. And you sent me that great link to some amazing recipes. I posted some pictures from these great recipes on our Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, so I have this routine. So even, you know, during the pandemic, so I wake up. So at night I put one of those, you know, like a sports bottle of fresh water by my bedside. I measure it out. And in the morning before I wake up, I drink that whole thing. So I drink that water first. It's very cleansing. Sometimes I put lemon in it, a squeeze of lemon. Sometimes it's just plain. And so that's the first thing I do before my feet hit the floor. So by the time I get to where I'm going to eat breakfast, I'm already fuller. I already feel fuller. Do you know what I mean? Like my stomach is okay.
And you're not craving all the junk food.
No, I don't crave any junk food. I do watch what I eat, but I do eat carbs as well as protein. So, and again, my weight has been going down during the pandemic. I think when I was traveling and eating out, I was eating a lot more calories, and I didn't know what, you know, I never knew. Every time I went to a restaurant, I would order shrimp cocktail thinking, oh, this shrimp is not many calories. But I would, like, drown it and immerse it in cocktail sauce. I love cocktail sauce. So that would be, like, my whole dinner. Like, I'd have four jumbo shrimps with cocktail sauce, and I thought, well, I'm doing pretty good. It was probably 200 calories. No, it wasn't. I wasn't counting at all. It was horrible, and I was putting on weight eating out in restaurants. So I'm glad I'm not doing that anymore.
No, yeah, and I know what you mean. A lot of people out there, they have like I told you before, the calorie amnesia. Like,
right.
They're not really keeping track of what they're eating. They're not very
right.
conscious of it. Before you know it, that's what happens.
Right. So I would probably have half a cup to a cup of cocktail sauce, and a cup is 221 calories, and I wasn't banking on that at all. But then I noticed when I first got home in the pandemic and I'm working from home, I was in the kitchen all the time. I would be, like, working. I'd be at my computer for, like, an hour, and then I'd run down to the kitchen and open the fridge. And I did this for several days.
Oh, yeah. I've got a lot of people out there.
Yeah, so it was just boredom or a new habit, or I can't explain the reason why. I don't think you ever run into that. I'm not sure.
Well, a lot of it, like right now, especially with the pandemic, a lot of it's emotional eating. People are reaching, like, for comfort foods. You know, for the ice cream and chips, things that texture, fat and sugar. And then now that kind of starting to loosen the restrictions a little bit, I know a lot of people are going to be looking for ways to lose the weight. So what we need is good recipes and a lot of strategies. And one thing I always tell people, you know, is when you go to the grocery store, don't go to the grocery store hungry. That's one of the worst things you
right.
can do.
Exactly.
Because you're going to just buy anything.
Yes, and quick. Like, nothing you have to prepare. Like, the trick is when you cook the healthiest food, it takes the longest to prepare. So there's this juxtaposition. If you get the worst food, there's no preparation time. It's done for you. You can pop something in a microwave. You can just slam it in your mouth. You know, you don't have that prep time. So there's something about, I love the recipes that you posted. I think my favorite about preparing these is the eggplant pizza.
Yeah,
Did you see that one?
I posted the eggplant pizza.
Yeah. I love that recipe. But there's something about when you're drinking healthy water, you're in the kitchen, you're cutting up your veggies, you're preparing your food, there's something about the psychology of it that you're going to eat less. I don't understand what that is. It's not the instant gratification. You're taking your time with food. You're cutting up your tomatoes. You know, you're slicing your eggplant. And there's just something a little bit slower and more sophisticated, more natural than just like shoving a handful of pretzels in your mouth while you're cooking.
It's just more satisfying.
Yeah.
It's more satisfying when you cook a meal at home than versus trying to just snack and eat out, you know, to carry out.
Right. And you cook a lot. I mean, you're doing your cooking shows, you're working with food, you appreciate food. You do a lot of preparation, and when you're preparing it, tell me a secret. When you're preparing it, do you put a couple things in your mouth?
Yeah, of course the chef has to try everything first to make sure that it's,
I know, right?
Yeah, it's valuable, you know, good for the recipe, that it tastes good.
I know, it's kind of the fun of it. So I'm chopping up these little cherry tomatoes in half or quarters or something. Yeah, and I'll pop one in my mouth. And it's the whole thing is kind of fun. I don't do that often, and I don't do that when people are cooking with me. My favorite thing in the kitchen is cooking with people. So when we're together,
yeah.
I usually don't try things unless I do a separate spoon and just throw it right in the sink. But I never double dip. But, yeah, it's there's just something really perfect about preparing your own food and taking your time with it and looking at a recipe.
I noticed that it's more satisfying, and then you feel you've accomplished things. So if you have, like, the kids in the kitchen working with you, it's definitely more satisfying.
Yep.
You all want to try what you made.
Right. And so so during the pandemic, what do you suspect people are doing that's changing their body composition, not for the better? What do you suspect is happening?
Well, I would think that it's lack of inactivity. People are maybe watching more movies, catching up on their Netflix. I've heard a lot of people are like binge watching a lot of shows that they haven't been able to watch, you know, prior to the pandemic. But, I mean, they don't have to necessarily have to sit the whole time while they're watching. I mean, they could be doing other activities to keep burning calories, you know. But I suspect that a lot of people don't. They're probably trying to catch up on their shows and episodes of different shows. And, you know, the inactivity, and then while you're sitting, of course, you're going to be snacking, you know, most definitely.
Right, right. So it's just this total halt on your going out, physical activity, and not having a plan kind of when you're at home, just sort of going to the kitchen anytime you want. Nobody cares. You know, no, you're not getting charged like you're going to a restaurant. The stuff is already in there. So, yeah, you're consuming more calories and
hoarding food.
The good news is, right, right. The good news is you're eating out less. So I think since I've been eating at home more, I trust my own food better. Because when you're in somebody else's, when you're in a restaurant kitchen, I've heard horror stories about, you know, they drop the steak on the floor in the restaurant kitchen and put it back on the plate, and you don't know what kind of oil they're using when they're cooking your food in oil. you know, you just don't know if it's tap water for your poached egg or it's supposed to be filtered, but who knows? You know what I mean? It's just you don't know what's going on back there.
Oh, definitely.
It takes a lot of...
At home, you know exactly where your food's been.
Right. Takes a lot of drugs. So,
yeah, I know. And I was talking earlier about the oil. You don't know how often do they change the oil, you know, if they're cooking your food in it. You could be getting oil that's been cooking for hours, and then you get a lot of the trans fats, and then it breaks down the oil even more.
Right. So... when you're at home, you have a chance to, it really is a blessing in disguise. Not that I want people at home, not that I want the pandemic, not that I want all of this to be happening. I don't. But since we're in this situation, you know, I've heard somebody say we're all in the same storm, but we're in different boats. And if your boat has a hole in it and you don't have a job and the unemployment hasn't come in and you're stressed and you're eating bad food, or some people are doing fine. They're cruising along in their boat. Other people have shipwrecked. You know, some people are on a yacht. They have no worries. You know, same storm, different boats, right? Different paths in life. But no matter what it is, it's true. No two people are experiencing the same thing.
Yeah, we all have different stories.
Yeah, I think I've heard more wars on Facebook over this and social media than I've ever heard about anything.
Oh, definitely, definitely. So what would you recommend to people? Let's say someone that's now, once we get out of the lockdown, what do you think would be the best plan for people that are trying to lose weight in the future? You know, what's the best way, you know, for them to start the day, like eating plan?
Right. So the first step number one, is to measure yourself, whether it's on a scale or you take a soft tape measure and put it around your waist, your arms, your thighs, your hips, everything. Get a number. Get a number on a scale or by measuring tape, whatever method. I don't weigh myself on a scale because it just stresses me right out. So every morning I take the soft measuring tape, I drink the water, I get up, I have a soft measuring tape in my bathroom, and I put that around my waist and look at the inches on my waist. And so I have a goal, and I wrote it down in a little book. I have this tiny book. At first I didn't want to write it down because I didn't want anyone to see it, but that's ridiculous because I live basically alone. So I don't know what I was thinking, but I'm like, I don't want anybody to see this number right now. So I just wrote my waistline in inches, but didn't put anything, and I put the date on it. So step number one, date it, put today's date, measure yourself, or no matter where you're at, no matter what it's like to look at it, take that measurement. Step number two is decide what you want it to be. This is what it is now, but this is where I'm going. So when I started, I think my waistline was either 27 or 28, and I wanted to go to 24, and I'm getting closer and closer to 24-inch waistline every day. So I decided this is what it is now. This is what my goal is. And every day I'm so excited, I get up, and when I measure, I'm like, am I getting closer? And I pull it as tight as I get. I'm like, come on, get to 24, come on.
It's your goal.
So step two is, get that goal. And then step three is if you can't do anything else for exercise, if you're not going to do push-ups or sit-ups on the floor, take a walk outside if you can, if at all possible. Get an app on your phone and track your movements. And step four is change the way that you think about food. Change your eating and write that down too. Write down what you eat. And when you see what goes in your mouth and when you look up the calories, you will see this great cause and effect. Instead of mindless eating and mindless, like, body maintenance, you will see that you'll start taking care of who you are. I do a couple extra things. I get pictures of people, like, on the internet like that. I want my weight to look like that, or I want my body composition to look like that. And then I have a pair of they're kind of like shorts, but they're to the knee, what do you call it, like capri pants. And I wore them years and years ago, and they don't fit me now because they're too small. So I have those hanging outside of my closet door, and every time I go by, I look at those pants, and I'm like, I'm going to get into those pants. I'm going to get into those pants again. So I do a couple little extra steps like that.
Perfect. And then, like for meals, how many calories do you think per meal people should strive for?
So you want to know your body mass index, and you don't want to go your resting, you know, body mass index. You don't want to go below a certain amount. I think, you know, 1,200 calories is super, super low. So each person has this individual calorie weight that they're going to compare depending on their current rate, their height, male, female, like just certain things. There's not one number that fits everybody. But I go for as few calories as I can, and you can just look that up on the internet, you know, for my height, for my weight, or my waistline, you know, how many calories should I consume a day, and go a little bit under that. And I do believe in counting calories. And I eat a lot of meals without any meat, so I've been cutting out meat. Because when I eat for me personally, and I grew up eating red meat, but when I eat red meat now, it's going to put some weight on me super fast. Anytime I eat red meat, it's just, why don't I just, you know, poke myself with a pin and, you know, bust, because I won't lose weight by the morning. I won't lose, you know, a quarter of an inch off my waistline if I eat any red meat at all. So I'm just avoiding it for me. I'm not recommending that someone else, they do or they don't. But I just have it sparingly. Even chicken, I have sparingly. Even fish, sparingly. Just mostly vegetables and beans and legumes.
And
that way, I get more food for my per cup. It's less calories.
And I'm holding my plate. You know that when you're talking about fruits and vegetables and the protein, of course, you mentioned like just a small amount of red meat or chicken or fish. Then what kind of grains would you recommend?
Yeah, so I do have that. I eat Ezekiel bread, or I eat corn tortillas. I eat anything that I want to for grains. I have oats sometimes in the morning. I don't cook my oats. I just eat them raw. I put cinnamon on it and oat milk. I don't use sugar. I use, what is that other bread, that Big Five bread sometimes, if that's all I can find. So this morning I have one half of an avocado, and I put salsa in it, and I smash the avocado and salsa, and I just put that on a half a slice of toast.
Okay.
I was totally full for breakfast. So I have my healthy fat, my avocado. I've got the salsa with a lot of flavor, and a half a slice of toast. Or sometimes I'll make, a scrambled egg and put the salsa in there. I'm on a salsa kick, did I tell you?
Oh, I see. Oh, so you're trying different kinds of salsa?
Yes, I love them. And pico de gallo.
Oh, what's in that?
So that's the tomatoes, the onions. If you go to like the Chipotle, you know, it's that one with you can see the chunks of tomato in it. And it's got cilantro and lemon or lime squeezed in, probably lime. And that's all it is. It's just the tomatoes, the cilantro, the onions, and it's lime, and it's, you know, diced tomatoes are small. I'll send you a picture of it sometime. But, yeah, I'm on a pico de gallo kick. You can use it with Tabasco, chipotle sauce, something like that. And so when you eat at home, you can customize your flavors. Like a restaurant is – what happens when you're eating in a restaurant is your palate – becomes so unsophisticated, you're not giving it a wide variety of flavors. You're not doing anything exciting with it, like once in a while maybe. But they're artificial flavors, right?
Yes.
So when you're cooking at home, you can do a wide variety of flavors. Like you probably make, do you make fattoush or what's the other one with the parsley salad?
Fattoush, I love the salad. You put toasted pita bread in there, and nice and crunchy.
Yes. And it's so healthy. It's just olive oil and lemon juice for the dressing.
Oh, yeah, really fresh.
And, Oh, it's amazing. What about, is it Fattoush? Tabbouleh. Tabbouleh?
A tabbouleh, yep. That's another good one.
Yes, that's one of the best salads for you. What tabbouleh is this parsley, tomatoes. It has burglar wheat, lemon juice,
yep.
Olive oil. But the parsley is just amazing, and you can't have anything better or more flavorful than that. So once you start eating things like this, you're not going to want to go back to the dinner salad from a restaurant. You know, how they have those side salads with iceberg lettuce.
Yeah.
You're
going to
find not so satisfying. Right. It's going to be like, oh, this is it. There's one of my favorite raw food cooks. Her name is Jennifer Kornblit. I give her a shout out all the time. I'll put her cookbook recipes on my on the picture. But she makes this. She has a recipe for lettuce soup. So in the summertime. Yeah, in the summertime, you put 4 romaine leaves in the blender with 1/2 an avocado, parsley or cilantro, squeeze a little lemon in there, and it makes this cold soup. And when you put it in the blender, the avocado makes it, it looks like it's a cream soup.
Oh.
And if you want to serve it chilled, you put it in the fridge for 30 minutes. I can have her lettuce soup, a bowl of her lettuce soup for lunch, and I'm completely stuffed. Like, seriously, I'm full. It's amazing. So it's all raw food. Nothing is cooked. Very healthy. You can do a side of the pico if you wanted or something like that, or put a little bit on top. Very, very good.
How about, like, now for dinner?
Yeah, so for dinner last night, I had put some potatoes. I peeled some potatoes. And I just put them in the oven in a little bit of water. And then I had some chickpeas, because I love chickpeas. I soaked them overnight, put them in the crock pot. So for my dinner last night, I had potatoes that were just plain. I did put a little bit of olive oil, salt, and pepper on them. And they were peeled and just plain broiled. I love potatoes. I put a tiny bit of cheese on them. And then I had my chickpeas. And I was totally happy. I'm sort of out of tomatoes and vegetables right now. I've got to run to the store. All I have down there is an avocado.
Avocado, yeah,
that's
but
all I've got in my kitchen right now.
Mm-hmm. Avocado is one of the best foods to cook with. It's so clean.
Yeah. Right. So I didn't have any meat. I haven't had meat for quite a while. And I think it's just been better on my digestion. It's been better on my organs. One of the things I do, if I do get hungry during the day, is I have this, I make a little protein shake. I bought it from the natural store. It's rice protein powder, and you put it in the blender with ice. And I put, a scoop of collagen powder in there because I want my skin to be elastic. Probably, George, you don't have to worry about that. So I put my collagen powder in there, and I put flax seeds in there, the chia seeds. So one of the things when you're eating less is you have to make sure you're getting enough fiber, because this is going to push everything through and get it out of your body. So I always make sure during the day I've got like this source of natural fiber. And so if I do have to have a snack during the day, That protein shake, it's rice, it's not whey, it's the rice protein. That's what I'll have during the day with the collagen, flax seeds. Sometimes I'll put a little cocoa powder that's unsweetened to make it chocolate flavor.
Oh, I
and lots of water. Yeah, maybe a little oat milk. Yeah, that's very filling, extremely filling.
So you would have that like you'd have that like for breakfast, you think, or when would you have that, the smoothie?
Yeah, anytime. I do those anytime I'm hungry and I don't have, you know, I feel like I'm not going to do a meal, but I just want my stomach full. That's exactly my go-to, that rice bran, the protein shake. And it is very, very filling, It's great, actually.
I
so
love
I've got that.
That
on hand. Yeah, yeah. What do you do for when you are needing
well,
a snack?
If I make a smoothie, the go-to I'd like to put the Greek yogurt. I put about a cup of Greek yogurt. I put probably like a cup of blueberries, fresh blueberries. Now in Michigan, we have really good blueberries in the summer. I can't wait to get fresh Michigan blueberries. Farmer's market
yeah.
there on the corner. And I could put some kind of a juice in there, like maybe like a half cup orange juice, water, put that in the blender. And then once you put that in the blender, you get like a nice little thick smoothie. And you're getting like from the blueberries, of course, you're getting your antioxidants. You hear all those studies about blueberries, how they can protect you from.
Yeah.
And they also can prevent dementia in a lot of people, too, the blueberries. So,
okay,
I see you're
so
watching.
Good.
Michelle's here. A lot of our friends are here now watching on the live feed on Facebook, too.
I have to find a way to get back on
Michelle,
camera.
Michelle, hi. Is on here. Renate, John, Diane Wilson, everybody, hello. We're talking nutrition with Dr. Suzanne Connell. We're both graduates from the Clayton College of Natural Health. And we're talking nutrition, helping people that may have had, like, put on pandemic pounds, which everyone's reading all these articles about how people kind of a little bit of weight during the pandemic. We're trying to give people some ideas. Michelle loves the blueberries. They are so good for you. She lives out in Vegas, so I know in Vegas, it's nice and hot. I know that they have a lot of fresh foods out there that they eat. And I've been out there too, and they've just got amazing restaurants. You can get just about. Hopefully, after the pandemic, they'll be opening up and get more of the goodies out that way.
Yeah, I was wondering if Vegas is open yet. What's opening? What's going on over there? But back to your thing about the Michigan blueberries. The tomatoes
yeah.
in Michigan are so much better than California. Oh, my gosh. The tomatoes here are flavorless. They're just like eating this wet piece of something. Like, they have no flavor here. You guys do have a lot of great flavors in your fresh produce.
Well, every time in the summer, every time I drive, like, let's say I go up north someplace, I go to, like, Frankenmuth on the way, I'm always looking for... along the way if I see any fruit stands or vegetable stands, because a lot of the people are growing their own vegetables, and I'm always like, oh, I got to stop there and see what they have. You know, and corn is very good here, like fresh grown corn in the fields. It's really good, too. The tomatoes, like, and then the one fruit stand that I go to, they have peaches from Canada, fresh peaches from Canada.
Ooh.
Sounds
that they
amazing. Bring, and those are just... They're real crispy on the outside and juicy in the middle.
Oh, it sounds amazing. Yeah, the fruit this time of year. That reminds me, 2 days ago, I still am doing my Pink Lady apples with a tablespoon of peanut butter in the morning. I still love those.
Oh,
I still have those apples.
What kind of peanut butter?
I use this crunchy, it's called Adams brand. It's a natural brand. And it's this crunchy peanut butter. It's got a lot of oil at the top, though, but it's an organic one. And
yeah.
It's high in calories. One tablespoon is 90 calories.
Oh,
so
wow.
I put one tablespoon. I kind of just use it sparingly over one apple. I'll slice up the apple and use one tablespoon because that's all the calories that I want. I don't want to
wow.
do 180 calories with it, you know. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
peanut butter, that's that sneaky one, but it's very good. I love the... Pink Lady apples with peanut butter.
Ooh, I know we're getting everybody hungry out there. Michelle from Vegas said that restaurants are open to 50% capacity, but and casinos are going to start opening June 1st.
Really?
So that's really soon, actually. The casinos will start opening June 1st, but I'm sure there'll be restrictions, of course.
Well, that's cool. The casino opened here in Southern California, and I heard there was just like a flood of there were so many people lined up. I don't go. I'm too cheap to gamble. I'm like, I'm not going to give a dollar in a slot machine. I just can't do it, so I don't go. But, yeah, I was so ready to go to Vegas right before all this happened. Me and my girlfriend were going to do a girls' weekend, and so I'm missing that. I miss that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that would have been fun.
I know. So,
well, Vegas,
we'll
when
see
I go
what
to
happens.
Vegas, just walking, I walked the whole strip.
Oh, that's helpful.
Yeah, really, from the, and last time we went, it was on a really hot day. We walked to the Stratosphere Casino to go up to the Stratosphere.
Yes.
We walked the entire
on the
strip
end.
To get to that.
Yeah, that's a lot. You got to have some good shoes on, and that's really fun to do that. So we should all meet there. We'll have a convention. We'll just meet there sometime.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we can have
it'll
like
be fun.
If there's some kind of a convention going on, or meet there and together and go to a really good restaurant where they serve really fresh food. Beck Bennett says she's a cup of Greek yogurt a day with low-salted nuts mixed in.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, the Greek yogurt, and we know Greek yogurt contains more protein, less sugar. And Michelle says a lot of restrictions, 50% as well, and temperature sensors at the entrance. So we kind of figure there's going to be a catch to it. If they reopen, there's going to be some kind of restrictions there.
Well, that's good that they have temperature sensors, because then people with a fever won't be able to, you know, they shouldn't be going around. Even before all this happened, I know if I was at work and somebody came in with a cold, just a regular everybody cold, like just what the little, you know, kindergartners or first graders have a cold, I thought it was kind of rude to be out and spreading it around, you know, if you don't have to be. It just feels like not very polite, you know, if you've got a cold.
Yeah,
pardon?
Also, a lot of times, you know, they tell people, if you're sick, don't go to work. And still people would come to work sick.
I know.
Because they don't want to.
And I guess they kind of have to. Right, right. It's tough. It's really tough. But when you're out in Vegas, you don't, it's a different story. I mean, when you're out, you know, in the casino and you're touching everything and,
yeah.
You know, then other people are going to do that too. So it's a different story. So I think we should be a little more careful and considerate. Hopefully.
I was watching something on the news the other day. People are coming up with creative ideas to get restaurants and bars open. And they were showing these people were going to some kind of a bar, but they had to be in like these inner tubes. So in order to maintain social distance.
Inner tubes?
Yeah, they were like in these inner tubes. So you could walk around, but you have an inner tube. It's kind of funny. Somebody designed this thing. It looks uncomfortable, though.
Well, I guess we'll figure it out one day or another. But, yeah, so anyway, when you're out and about in Vegas or wherever you are, it's difficult to know what you're eating for calories. So
Yeah. Even
when we were in Clayton, even the most, you know, strict people for nutrition who wanted to eat healthy couldn't eat healthy 100% of the time. It's more like you do 75-25% or something, because you have to live in the real world and people go out, they'll socialize again. So you can't really stress about it if you do.
You're on vacation.
But if, right, right. So, yeah, no big deal. If you do, then you just get back home and you pick up to where you left off. The thing about eating healthy and your weight and losing weight is that it's always there. It's never going to be end. Like, hey, I finished it. I reached my goal. I'm done completely. It's the rest of your life. It's just always iterative. You're always going to work on it. You never give up on it.
There's always the next day. You can just get up where you left off and do your best the next day.
Yeah, so it's not like, you know, I'm going to lose this weight and then I'm done and then I don't ever have to do this again. No, it doesn't work like that. even when you get to your desired weight or your desired waistline, that number, that measurement that you had, you need to keep it there. You don't want it to go back up, just kind of, you know, creep back up on you. You don't want it, all the hard work that you did, you don't want to undo it.
And I think that a lot of people, that does happen to a lot of people. And it's also, it hurts them psychologically too, behaviorally. You know, you lose all that weight and then you put it back on. It can be a really bad blow to your psyche because you work so hard on it. Hey, we have also Melanie Mack. She's a registered dietitian. She's on with us too.
Oh, good.
Hi, Melanie. We're talking nutrition.
Hi, Melanie.
We're on. Michelle wanted to know, what do you think of keto? She was thinking of going on the keto diet.
Yeah, I tried the keto diet, and it worked for me initially. I probably lost some pounds, although I don't weigh myself. But I didn't stay on it forever. And when I went back off of it, then I was my weight was climbing again. So it did have this useful purpose because it gave me a jump start, but I couldn't sustain it for a long period of time.
Oh, I see.
If that makes sense. Yeah.
Oh.
Now I just eat what I want. Yeah. But I think it's good. I mean, it works.
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard mixed reviews on it, but I did see a lot of dietitians. They did recommend it, but you had to follow it properly too. You couldn't do
right.
Go off too far into left field with it, with the keto diet.
Right. Right. There's so many that. There's so many myths about it, and people are doing it with just the high protein, and they'll tell you, I can eat anything I want. I can eat bacon, and I can eat cheese, and I can eat all these things. And they're not getting the good fats. So I would find one. I would find one that definitely has a bent toward holistic nutrition. If that's the kind of diet that you want, definitely toward that. But I do a combination of carbs with my protein. I don't just do one or the other. I kind of feel like I need a balance of all of them, but that's just me. And if I can lose my weight with carbs, then I can also eat them later because I love them. I love them. Yeah, I eat them a lot.
Which ones?
Oatmeal. So I have oatmeal in the house. And I never cook my oatmeal. It's just I pour it right out of the container. I don't use the steel cut because the steel cut and the flat oatmeal have the same exact nutritional value. So I just pour it right into a bowl, just dry. And then I put oat milk on it. I know it sounds weird. Cinnamon, you know, maybe a tiny bit of nutmeg, either nuts or raisins or something like that. And that's just my simple breakfast, my simple oat breakfast. And then for the bread, I eat Ezekiel bread or all of my beans have carbs in them, like black beans, pinto beans, navy beans, kidney beans. When I do a lot of dried beans, lentils, they all have carbs in them as well. So I keep up with the beans. I have a rice cooker. And I make a lot of rice. I love rice, actually. So I eat my rice, you know, and I make either an Asian stir fry out of it or a Spanish rice or just eat it plain. Either way, loving that. So, but I count the calories and I count the fiber, the fat, things like that.
Wonderful. Hi, Michelle. Welcome back. I had to start part 3 because sometimes my phone kicks me off if I'm on Facebook Live too long. So part 3 of our nutrition, the pandemic pounds, trying to shed them with Dr. Suzanne. And as Donna Christian asked, how can she lose weight before August? Dr. Suzanne, she wants to lose weight before August. I have to tag her in your answer.
All right. So well, August will be here, but in 10 minutes. Time flies. I can't believe half the year's almost over, and I don't know what happened to 2020.
I know.
Don't know. Yeah, I don't know your weight goals or if you've been on since the beginning of the show. The first thing, I'll go back to step one. Step one, wherever you're at today, write it down, measure, or weigh yourself, or put it on a piece of paper. And then step two is get your target goal, right? And look at that every day and write down what you eat. Definitely, that's the one thing. Also, what I've done before is I did this intermittent fasting. I decided I was going to fast, and I got an app for that. So in one of my apps, I didn't eat anything. Like, I'd have one meal a day, and I would fast for 20 hours just drinking water or liquids or something, but not having any intake food. And then I had a four-hour window where I could eat whatever I wanted. And I would eat one meal, and I think, well, I've got three more hours to eat more, and I never wanted to eat more. And the way that I was successful on my intermittent fasting was it was a mental game. It was a mind game at first. I really had to get my brain in order. So I had to have a goal, tell myself I wasn't hungry, tell myself all these things, make my brain sort of be the front runner of this plan. And then when I wanted to eat, I would tell myself, no, wait until this time of day. That's when I'm going to break my fast. And that worked for me. And usually I'm not disciplined. I don't know how that happened. So the intermittent fasting jump-started my weight. When I'm not intermittent fasting, then I'll note the time in my book. So I've got my waistline measurement in there. I write it down. So if I eat like at 7 a.m., for example, I could set a stove timer or my phone timer. I don't want to eat again for 4 or 5 more hours or whatever it is that I decide, and I won't. I won't snack. I won't eat. I'll say, nope, don't do it. Wait until this time and start doing tricks like that to keep yourself from intaking too much food where you're not aware of it or not counting it. Does that make any sense?
Correct. Yeah, I like that because you're conscious of what you're eating. You know, you're not just, really thinking about what's in your diet. You know, so you're more like and people that are conscious about what they're eating, thinking about it, they're more successful.
Right, and then have a plan. Like, so I set my timer. So I have breakfast at 7. So at maybe 1 o'clock I'm going to eat or noon or something. And in between, like it's 10:30 and I'm ravishingly hungry, just say for example. So I bought a pack of gum. I was chewing it like crazy, drinking water. I'm running around. Don't do it. Don't do it, you know. So I started thinking, what is it that I can do when I have those moments to get that hunger feeling to pass? What is it that I can do? Walk outside, drink water, give it 20 minutes, you know. I started having to conquer, you know, that weakness so I wouldn't cave. So I had to have a plan within myself so I wouldn't be mindless, like you said. And that's, again, the second, it was more in my brain than it was, I think, my body. So then when the hunger would pass, I would be fine. Sometimes I would take a natural supplement, vitamin B12, because I don't have a lot of meat in my diet. Or I take an iron tablet or something like that, vitamin C. And I felt like when I wasn't taking my multivitamin, I was hungry more because I must have needed nutrients.
Yep. Your body's
so I would do
you.
A sup. Right. Mm-hmm. So I'd be like, I'm super hungry today. What's going on? Oh, my gosh, I didn't have any nutrients. I had no multiple vitamin. I had no vitamin D. I had no vitamin C. You know, I'll take those. And just taking a bunch of those would make me full because you have to take it with water, and it's like, oh, I'm stuffed.
Yeah, getting enough water is definitely important, because it's going to help you feel fuller, and it doesn't have any calories, so, you know, it's very helpful drinking more water in your diet if you're trying to lose weight, especially the pandemic pounds.
Right. So go ahead.
Hi, Christy. We have some people on the Facebook Live. Hi, Christy. Hi, Beth. Michelle said that she uses the MyFitnessPal app. It counts her calories, and she logs her weight every week. So that's really smart right there. Donna Christian was at here. She's back. Christian's back. She wanted to know what are good ways for someone to lose weight that is diabetic. It's a little bit more difficult, she feels. But really, hi, Jacqueline. But even for diabetics can lose weight in a healthy way, too.
Yeah, but the blood sugar, you don't want to go as long as I would without food because you don't want your blood sugar to swing. So you plan your snacks in between, which are healthy. Like if I totally failed, I would have a handful of raw sunflower seeds. Almonds are 10 calories, I think, each, you know, so I'd be careful, just a handful of nuts. I would have something healthy in between so that my blood sugar wouldn't take a swing. It has to have steady. It has to be very, very steady. So definitely it's easy to lose weight if you have a plan. If you don't have a plan, I don't know how people do it. I'm not sure how they would do it.
One, Beth Shipler said almonds are a great snack. Jacqueline says she's type 2 diabetes. Her kidneys are failing. She'd like to know what food she can eat for herself. Her kidneys are failing. She didn't have to be on a kidney-friendly diet for sure. And then
right,
Michelle says
so,
she gets half of her weight in water every day. She drinks a lot of water in order to maintain a healthy diet. And Beth Shipler says she follows the keto diet, but a lot of times she drinks beer. But actually, beer can be nutritious, believe it or not. It has hops in it, so sometimes beer can be a drink a day is not bad every day. Especially not. Yeah, there's nutrition in beer, believe it or not. As long as you don't
my slimmest girlfriends, the slimmest friends that I have are the ones who drink a beer. Like, it's so funny because I'm allergic to hops, so I can't have it. But yeah, they do, and I'm like, there must be something to that. It's so funny.
You know, there's nothing like a little tall glass of beer in the summer, a nice cold tall glass of beer. Oh, very refreshing. And it probably helps you in, like, you know, you're getting the hops. You're also, it cleans you out, I would think, and then satisfies your taste buds. You probably don't want to eat as much after you had a nice cold glass of beer. You know, helps you to maybe eat less, actually. Filling.
Yeah, I wish I could have some, but I think it's something that's probably an acquired taste. But because like I say, everybody I know who drinks it, all my female friends who drink it, they're thin, as opposed to the males that I know that drink it. I don't know why that is.
And Donna Christian says she doesn't drink because she's diabetic. Yeah, well, she's really got to watch it. I have a friend though. She's diabetic. She still has a drink, but I think it's like she'll have vodka because it's low carbs. There's some kind of drink she has, and she says it doesn't have sugar when it's prepared. I'll have to look into it more. But diabetics really probably should really avoid drinking.
Yeah, so avoid the white. Everything white, if you're diabetic, avoid everything. The white flour, the white bread, the white potatoes, everything like that, you know, the pastas, the macaronis, just avoid those like crazy. Go for the lentils. And I've got this great lentil recipe if you like lentil soup or anything like that. They're excellent. If I really am failing, I'd buy those mini carrots, those little carrots, and I snack on those. And just snacking gives me some kind of satisfaction if I can't, you know, wait in between. Definitely, I make a lot of hummus. And so
hummus.
I could eat, yes, because you have to have a healthy fat. So I put olive oil in it. I put garlic. So I have my chickpeas, the tahini, which is sesame seed paste. And I put a little bit of a hot jalapeno pepper in mine to give it a kick. And I eat it with the vegetables like raw broccoli, raw carrots. So it's actually the hummus I like more than anything else. So I would definitely stick with lentils, beans, vegetables, things like that. If I'm super, super hungry and I don't want to eat at the time, I also bought miso paste. Have you seen the miso paste? It's an Asian food.
Oh, yeah, I love miso. And miso soup.
Yes, yes. So I just put that in water on the stove in a little saucepan, and I put it in a cup. I drink it warm. It's very satisfying. It just makes me fuller. I don't have to eat something if I'm hungry. I could do a miso soup. I can also do a vegetable broth in between meals. So if I do a vegetable broth, then that curbs my appetite, and it helps me avoid, putting something in my mouth. I would say forget all sugar in any form. If you're diabetic, just skip it. Yeah, skip it altogether. You don't skip it. Don't eat it. Don't go for it.
Well, Donna, so you should look at foods that do not contain any kind of white sugar or white bread. And I have, like, whole grains, definitely. Like, things like quinoa is a good one. And then you can make with different vegetables. You can experiment with different vegetables. Different kinds of hummus. And one more question. Jacqueline wanted to know if organic pasta is good for diabetics. Organic pasta.
I eat pasta. I would avoid the pasta that I eat is. I'll send the picture. It's edamame pasta,
okay,
or the zucchini pasta, or something like that. I wouldn't. The organic is not going to change. The organic or not organic is not going to be different on your blood sugar. So if you're diabetic, you want to keep your blood sugar stable, right? So I would do a substitute for regular pasta with flour. And if you can find the edamame pasta, it's made from beans, and it's quite delicious. I had that not too long ago, and I love it. And I put olive oil on it, a little sprinkle of Parmesan, salt and pepper, raw garlic. It's really my go-to. One of the best pasta sauces. Go ahead.
There was a pasta that was made out of chickpeas also. I've seen that one time at the grocery store. Make those kind of pastas out.
Yeah, chickpea pasta. Yeah, forget the bread ones. Do any other kind of pasta. And they have, you're right, the organic chickpeas. I think Rao makes one of them. There's another rotini that's made from chickpea flour. And you just kind of get used to it. Yeah, you just kind of get used to it.
I've tried it. I really can't tell a big difference from both of them. And it's better for you, so why not?
So, if you can get your own pasta sauce from scratch, you just make it. If you want to do a tomato sauce, it's so delicious. You can do the eggplant lasagna. You can do the eggplant pizza. Yeah, totally. So good.
I have the link for the summer vegetable recipes in the Blog Talk Radio that's on my Facebook page. If you look on my Blog Talk Radio Facebook page, you'll be able to listen to this interview when you click it, and there's a link that sends you directly to the 44 summer vegetable recipe for people, vegetarian. And one last question, egg noodles for diabetics. You think egg noodles are good for diabetics?
I would avoid them. I mean, are they good? Well, I would just avoid them. I don't know. I mean, they're okay. I would rather do rice noodles if I could get an Asian rice noodle or something like that. I think that's just me. But does she measure her blood sugar? Let me find
out. I'm not sure. Jacqueline, do you measure your blood sugar? Let us know. And then Donna Christian, what we'll do is I'll send you some links to the foods we're talking about. I'll message them to your Facebook, Donna, and then you can just go directly to the grocery store and get them. She was asking about ramen noodles. Those are high in salt. Anything like the ramen noodles? I switched to like Dr. Suzanne to the noodles that are made from chickpeas or edamame.
Yeah, I have it on my Facebook page. I'm looking for it now, the one with my edamame. Oh, here it is. I found it. Edamame spaghetti. I'll share this with you. Yeah, one
Jacqueline's
of my favorites.
Two different insulin, so she's really got to be careful.
Yeah, totally. That's the most important thing. Just just be careful with it and really learn how to love raw foods. Get raw cookbook foods. There's a Thug Kitchen. There's all kinds of beautiful, delicious foods that are raw that you don't need to cook. So, so good for you. Yeah. You'll live longer, right? Hopefully that's the goal.
And before we go, how about some nutritious snacks, you think? I would think like things like almonds would be a good nutritious
snack. Oh, absolutely. Oh, absolutely, right. There's, you know, nuts and seeds are always good. Like I say, my favorite go-to snack is small carrots, those little ones the baby carrots. Right, right. And I snack on those if I'm super hungry, any fruit that you want just sparingly. I was using a lot of pineapple. When this whole thing started, I was worried about my lungs, and it has a lot of bromelain in it, but I don't eat a whole lot of fruit typically. I lean toward more vegetables. But, yeah, nuts and seeds are a nice go-to. You just have to be super careful because they have a lot of calories.
Yeah.
You know, just,
so just
a small snack. Yeah.
But
like I say,
you even put them like in a little, so you can just snack. You won't, never, one thing I tell people is never eat right out of the bag or any container. Always just measure out first. Because you never know how much.
Scared. Right, exactly. Put it in your hand, like count them. If you do a protein bar, I think the best one is Quest. It has less sugar than any of them. It has about 20, 25 grams of protein. Be careful with protein bars because of the sugar content. There's also one called RX Bar, which just has egg whites in it and dates, things like that, the RX Bar. Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are good.
Perfect. Okay, well, we're kind of running out of time now, but we'll be back again. I knew that this would take a long time because weight loss is a big big topic. Not even in an hour you can't cover everything. And once you get people asking questions about it, it can just go on like the whole day probably. Our show could go on. It could stop actually. But one last question, watermelon. Donna Christian wants to know about watermelon.
Well, it's absolutely delicious. And it's low in calories. But again, it's the, you know, it's the sugar content of it, just sparingly, right? Just like everything else. I know one of my friends didn't have diabetes, but he lost weight just eating watermelon. Basically, that was it. His whole food was water.
Yeah.
But I hardly eat it just because I'm anti-sweets anyway. I just hardly eat it.
Well, there you have it. Thanks so much, Dr. Suzanne. I knew it would be a great topic. We're getting loads of questions. And I'm going to send links to some of the people, to some of the foods we talked about that are going to help them with losing weight and staying healthy. That's the main thing, staying healthy during this difficult period. And I want to thank you so much for being on the show. We only have a couple minutes left. 3 seconds, actually. So thank you. We'll see you next Monday, Dr.
Thank you, Dr. George. Okay, bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.